Before I get started, I want to hand out these red pens. So take one and pass them along. There's not an assignment, just hold on to it. One thing that I learned in a homiletics class, which homiletics is teaching you how to preach, sort of. It is, really. And one thing I learned that was really impressed upon me is that you never tell your congregation how hard it is for you to prepare a sermon. But I'm going to tell you right now that it was very, very hard for me to pull something together to talk to you about the gospel this morning. And that's because on Wednesday night, I caught a bug, a really, really serious bug. It distracted me, and it didn't make me sick per se. Actually, it was a love bug. Yeah, because on Wednesday night, our first granddaughter was born. Thank you. And her name is Penelope, but we're going to call her Penny. Yeah, so as you can imagine, when I heard the news, I just screamed. And since then, I have had my phone with me all the time. In fact, it's right there right now, but I'm not looking at it for those reasons. I have been on my phone texting, talking to people. I've even downloaded Snapchat because I just want to see pictures, more and more pictures. I cannot get enough of her. She is adorable. So all this time I'm spending between Wednesday and yesterday, I'm thinking, oh God, I'm praying. God, please, please help me not to be distracted so that I can focus on your word, so that I can speak your word to my friends at St. Timothy's. So sure enough, I found a connection, and it's a good connection. In fact, the way it happened is that, so Wednesday night I was sitting in the office over there at the big table with Susan Pimlott because we were having our almost weekly senior wardens meeting. And the phone's right there and I'm waiting for the text. And when I get the text, I scream. And Susan stands up and screams and we look at the picture. But right away, what comes to mind and in my heart is thank you, God. Thank you. As simple as that, a prayer. And I've been praying for them since Wednesday, and they're doing really well. So today's gospel is, the whole thing is a prayer. It's called the High Priestly Prayer. It's the end of this farewell discourse that we've been in now for a few weeks, starting at chapter 14 all the way through chapter 17. But there's a turning point at chapter 17, and that's where Jesus turns to pray. You see, up until then, he was talking to the disciples. He was preparing them, telling them all that they needed to know before he left. And then, instead of cramming as much information as he could, because time was running short, and he knew that the disciples could only take so much, he stopped. And he paused to pray. He talked to God. That was a good transition for them. Now, when he spoke to God, the things that he said, the things that he prayed for his disciples for, was protection, and also that they might have a sense of unity. Because those were the two things that they were going to need. He knew that they would need it, and he prayed to God the Father that they would be protected and have unity, because when he's gone, that's what they'll need. Jesus also prayed for the disciples, but he also modeled other things. So if we step back a second, that high priestly prayer, what this is called, is really important on a lot of levels, many levels. And you heard all the kind of confusing words in there, right? Me and him and I and you and wherever we are. But it's really, really important. And I'm not going to talk about all the details. Just take a look at that picture of Jesus, this icon. I'm not going to give you all the details of that prayer. It would be too much to cover. It's almost like not being able to see the forest for the trees, right? So if we step back and look at this whole chapter and this whole prayer, if we step back and look at this forest, what we're going to find is Jesus praying. That's all it is, Jesus praying. And that Jesus prayed shows us the intimacy of their relationship, Jesus and Jesus' Father. And that intimacy is the relationship that we are invited into. We've talked about that. It's close. That Jesus prayed also shows us how important prayer is for us in our relationship with Jesus and with Jesus' Father, with God. It's essential. It's important. Sometimes we have a little bit of trouble praying. I'm not quite sure what to pray, what to say, and really, I think some, even for me, some of those extemporaneous public prayers can be especially difficult. So if you can imagine being like in a Bible study or a small group and somebody says, "Oh, Darlene, would you please pray us out?" And that feels for a lot of us a little bit awkward because we're just not quite sure of the words to use. We're not quite sure what we should say, that maybe we won't have all those eloquent words that Jesus had, or the eloquent words that someone else uses when they pray. But really, we all know this, prayer is prayer, and it can be a lot of things. We can pray silently. We can pray by singing the psalms, our songs, and we pray them. We can pray short prayers like thank you and forgive me, help me. And we can pray prayers from a book, like the Book of Common Prayer, where there are beautiful prayers, and you can pray morning prayer and evening prayer and Compline. When you don't have the words, but you want to connect, they're there. And no one has a patent on prayer. Interestingly, if you go to Amazon.com and go into the book section, just books, and type in prayer, you will come up with thousands, well, at least more than 1,000 books on prayer. That's a lot of books. So clearly, no one has the right way. Everything we do to connect to God is prayer. Now, prayer was important to Jesus, and that importance is what we need to know too, because Jesus is not with us physically, but we do have to make that connection. And so we see that prayer not only leads us, but led even in Acts, when we read about Paul, we saw how much prayer helped the apostles and the women that were with him. Because when Jesus ascended and left them physically to go be at the right hand of his Father, the other apostles and women gathered together, and what did they do? They prayed. They prayed with constant devotion because it was what was going to be, what would connect them. Now, all of us pray. We have prayer lives. At the very least, we come here on Sunday. You're here, and we're praying together, corporate prayer, and sometimes prayer on our own right here in worship, which is fantastic. I'm a little distracted. I get distracted easily by that little tone. There it is. So we heard in the Acts of the Apostles that when they left, they prayed, and that is just how important prayer is. We pray. We pray when we are here, and we pray when we leave here. But sometimes we forget to pray. I mean, sometimes when something really deep is happening in our lives, we get so caught up in whatever that is that we forget. We can pray. And it doesn't mean that Jesus is going to make everything perfect and all right. It just means that there's going to be that connection. Prayer is a way for us to know God. We know God in a lot of different ways. We know God because God loves us. And the more we connect, the more we know. Jesus said, because I forgot. I knew I wouldn't memorize it. This is how important prayer is for us in connecting, so that we can know that God loves us and that we learn how to love others. And we learn how to be in the world. If we don't pray and connect that way, it's going to be harder. Jesus said at the very end of the farewell discourse and at the end of this prayer, the high priestly prayer, the very last verse, which we don't get to today, but the very last verse in the prayer says, "I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." That is the love that we have in Jesus. So, like I said, we forget. And I have given you today a red pen. Does everybody have one? You've got your red pen, good. How many of you know what a red letter edition Bible is? Or better yet, right, some of you even have one. And if you don't, totally fine. A red letter edition Bible is where all of Jesus' words, so obviously this is in the New Testament, all of Jesus' words are in red. So if you have one of those Bibles and you flip through, you see all that red. When I was a teenager, all I wanted to do was read Jesus' words. They were cool words for a teenager, really, if you think about it. And then I realized as I got older that all the black words in between are really pretty important, too. We'll miss a message if we don't read all the black words, too. So these pens are red for a reason. Red is the color of love, right? We associate red with love. Some of you have red on. And it is that love that is in the farewell discourse and the high priestly prayer that I would like you to remember when you have this pen and when you use this pen, that it is red. Maybe it will remind you that, yes, you are loved, that, yes, Jesus prayed for you. It might also remind you of the blood shed on the cross for us. It might just remind you of something as simple as a heart, and that you're loved and that you love. I want you to think about it as an I heart Jesus and Jesus hearts me pen. And I want you to use it. You see, with that pen, you might even think about writing your prayers out. And maybe even sending a prayer that you write out for someone to that person. You could even put it in an envelope. Remember what they are? Put a stamp on it and put it in the mail. There are mailboxes still, I promise. Or you can just use your phone and do heart, 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 heart. But the red pen, when you write with it, there's something that's all about your body and your mind. that remind you of Jesus' words and that Jesus loves you, and that because of that, you can love others with certainty. I invite you to use your pen and remember that Jesus loves you. And I invite you to use it often. So I want you to go in peace today and use your pen and remember. Thanks be to God.